This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Cameron?
All right. We all know the New Orleans Saints were in the process of naming their stadium. We now know who has those new naming rights.
Okay.
It will be called the Caesar Superdome. It will be the first. A committee approved a 20-year naming contract deal on Thursday. So I guess, yeah, for 20 years, Caesar is going to be slapped on that building.
Caesar's, right? The casino? Like
yep.
Okay.
And it says it is the first NFL stadium with a gambling-based naming rights sponsor. So, yeah, they are switching from the Mercedes-Benz Stadium because obviously the Falcons bodied them out of that. And, yeah, they are switching to Caesar for the next 20 years.
Okay.
So, yeah, starts the, you know, how, you know, kind of the process of just, you know, gambling and stuff like that, being in bed with, the, you know, major sports leagues. So, one of them now has their name slapped on the stadium.
All right. Despite dying 5 years ago.
Oh.
Prince has released a new song. Hot Summer. Has been released. It's called Turn Your Summer Around.
No.
It's coming from a new album
that
was recorded in 2010 and will apparently be released in both standard and deluxe editions on July 30th. So a new Prince album coming next Friday. Hot Summer released. I thought Prince really didn't want after he died. I thought that was something he, like, it was very, like, adamant against. Although, you know, I guess whenever you're gone, your family and your estate can kind of do whatever they want.
Yeah.
The money can come in and, like, you know, maybe they would like to see your work live on. And I don't know, but I thought that was something that he, like, specifically had said, like, hey, don't do.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Hot Summer released new album next Friday.
Okay.
I believe intern Ryan's got some Tennessee baseball news for us.
Yeah, a trio of Tennessee Vols who were selected in the MLB draft have officially signed with their respected teams. We had Jake Rucker, our three-hole third baseman, the seventh-round pick with the Minnesota Twins.
So he signed his contract?
Officially signed. We had Sean Hundley.
Good for him.
Ace reliever. 19th round pick. This is the one that he may have came back for, but he's gone. He's off to the Rays. And Chad Dallas, everyone's favorite Big Cheese. 4th round pick out of the Blue Jays. He's the one who really, you knew the writing was on the wall with this kid, but Tennessee's going to have some big holes to fill.
Well, you know, they've gotten some transfers to help do that. They've had some good recruiting, and they also added another freshman All-American in the transfer portal. This time, a catcher, Matt McCormick, transfers from West Virginia. Big get for Tennessee. Batted .280 last year. Hit 7 home runs. He's a freshman All-American. That's, you know, at least what, the second one they've added? They added the pitcher from Georgia Southern. Now add McCormick. Obviously, that means that, you know, the kid from Kentucky, we had talked about him maybe signing a free agent deal, that it seemed like that was kind of the way it was trending. Looks like Tennessee had a backup plan and went ahead and cashed in on that. So the catcher position was going to be a hole to fill, and it looks like they have filled it.
Yeah, no word on Pavlone.
And whether or not he signed his contract?
Yeah, but it seems like...
Well, I mean, he's gone. I think
he's got to be gone.
Yeah, they're planning you know, for him to be gone one way or the other. I guess he hasn't signed his contract yet, but they basically just recruited over him.
Ooh.
Cam?
All right. The African nation of Guinea has backed out of the Olympic Games.
Is this the same as New Guinea or no?
No, it's different. This was that New Guinea's in the Pacific, okay, out there like north of like kind of by Indonesia and stuff like that.
Okay.
Guinea is just a small nation in Africa. They were only sending 5 athletes to the games, but they are citing COVID as one of the reasons. But they have officially backed out of the Olympics. So I don't know if that, you know, may not mean anything in the grand scheme of anything as far as, you know, other teams backing out or anything like that. But it is the first country to do it. And, you know, we kind of mentioned yesterday that they haven't ruled out the possibility of last minute canceling the games or anything like that.
It's supposed to start tomorrow, right? Like opening ceremony. I mean, I know
ceremonies, yeah.
I know like soccer has already kind of been going on. Softball has already been going on. But like opening ceremonies are supposed to be tomorrow, right?
Yep.
And like, they just basically hit 2,000 new cases, 1,979, the highest they've had since January 15th.
Yep.
We know that Tokyo's been in a state of emergency since July 12th, mm-hmm. and cases have sharply increased since then. The emergency measures, which largely involve a ban of alcohol sales and shorter hours for restaurants and bars, are to last until August 22nd. I guess this is not, you know, just in the Olympics, just all of Tokyo.
Yep.
And, of course, there are no fans in the stands, but it seems like they're not going to cancel them like before. Maybe they cancel them during, but I feel like once you get started, you can't really cancel them. So, like,
I think they have the power through it at this point. Yeah, if they're not going to call it before the ceremony, I feel like once you have the ceremony, you can't really go back. I'm not sure there, though, but
Prime Minister Suga has seen his approval rating fall to 30%.
Yeah, they are not happy this is happening over there.
And they haven't really had any festivities. The opening ceremony is going to be really strange because, like, if you are Japan and you don't necessarily have the support of the country, can you have a big celebration during this? Or are you just trying to put your head down and get it done, yeah, like to like fulfill your obligation? I don't know. You know, usually the opening ceremony is a huge party, right? A huge,
yeah,
you know, thing back to China. They
celebration
to,
of your country,
right,
and like show off what you can do.
Right.
Do
you still do that?
That's the question.
If you're in Japan right now, like,
I'm not sure.
I guess the good news is that like there are not going to be any fans there to like boo the festivities.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are there going to be like protesters outside? I mean, I guess that kind of defeats the point of, right, like if you don't want the, you know, crowds to happen and the pandemic, you know, the pandemic games to go on, like you go outside and protest. That seems counterproductive, but
yeah, I think it's just gonna be quiet. I think it's just gonna be look like an empty city.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not going to be great. It's not going to be a very fun Olympics, I don't feel like. It's just so different and stuff like that. And, yeah, like we said, the host country isn't excited to have it. So I feel like that's completely different from every other Olympics ever, except, you know, Brazil was kind of a weird case, which is the country was happy to have it. The people just weren't really on the same page there. But usually, yeah, it's like a celebration of the country, and I don't know how that's going to go down this year.
Jim Harbaugh on beating Ohio State.
I can't do it.
He didn't say he can't do it. I guess this is the best answer he could give. I don't know. He says we're going to do it or die trying.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I guess that is true. And I don't know if he means literally die like on the field or just like his career at Michigan or what. But, yep, does seem like he's either going to do it or die trying.
Or die trying. Okay. We had some more NIL news as we have a high schooler signing an NIL agreement. Mickey Williams has signed with Excel Sports for an NIL deal expected to generate millions for the high school basketball star. I think this kid's a junior.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not eligible for the NBA draft until 2024. So
yep.
I mean, this kind of gives you an idea of how young he is. So, I mean, that might even make him, is he an upcoming junior?
Maybe
17.
Like, it seems like he's
old.
An upcoming junior if he's 2024, right? Because I mean, this would be the 2022 class, 2023
years,
class.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he has more than 5 million followers across multiple platforms, and he is now the first prep basketball star to sign with a major sports representation agency to pursue his NIL.
He's class of 2023.
He's a San Diego native, plays at Norman Christian in North Carolina. And he has signed a deal that will generate, quote, millions of dollars for this young man. His reverence, or relevance, excuse me, around his peers in the basketball community is off the charts. He's one of the most relevant personalities in the basketball community. His digital and social following speak for themselves. He's the number 7 overall prospect in the class of 2023.
The thing I'm seeing is they may even get him a shoe deal off this.
This seems absurd.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, if he's got 5 million followers, I mean, he's got some type of influence. I mean, get paid, I guess. I wasn't sure if the high school players could get these before school, but hell, maybe he's not coming to school anyways. I don't know.
Well, it's, where was it? It said,
we're going to take.
Recent legislation recently allowed for college athletes to financially profit from NIL endorsement opportunities. No high school prospect unaffiliated with a college program has shown the ability to generate the revenue that Williams appears to be on the cusp of earning. So I guess technically there isn't, like, since they're not affiliated with a college, there was, you know, I feel like you could have done this always in high school is what it kind of seems like if it wasn't, you know, like an agent. But it's just like, yeah, there was nobody that really was able to generate the same stuff. Or, I don't know, maybe, because you feel like Zion Williamson would have been able to get stuff in high school, which, you know, at least legally.
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah, maybe with the NIL rules you can do this and then still, yeah, go sign and there's no, like, NCAA trouble after the fact, so.
I don't know what makes this kid special. Like, he's not,
I mean,
he's number 7. In terms of his class, it's not like he is, you know, just a Monty Bates who is, you know, supposed to be like a generational talent. I mean, I'm not saying he's not great. He's a 5-star. Although, you know, Twitter writes in saying, you know, he came to Catholic and got beat by 30 by Bobby Mays Elite's team here in Knoxville. But, like, I don't know, like, what makes him special. Maybe it's his personality.
Yeah, but say, yeah, maybe he is, like, just is really good on social media and branding himself.
Dunking, yeah, like, he's branding himself, but... You know, that was one of the big things I talked about from the NIL was just like, this is going to change sports all the way down to like middle school and, you know, and high school. If you don't get to college with a big following, you are going to be wasting opportunities.
You just got some big-ish NFL news.
All right, we'll get to it after the break. Is it breaking news? Is it big news?
Yeah, pretty much breaking.
All right, we'll get to it after the break. Yep. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Been talking a lot about conference realignment. How that affects Tennessee, how that affects college football in general. I don't know if it's good news or not for Tennessee. I do know that Tennessee fans got some good news as Home Field Apparel is launching their Tennessee line coming up this weekend. 15 pieces of apparel, including t-shirts, hoodies, crew necks, all vintage marks you won't see elsewhere. The quality of the fabric, of the material, top notch, top notch. Tennessee involved in season 2 of the Big New Saturday, where they're going to launch a new school on their site every Saturday for 16 weeks straight. Tennessee coming up next. You can get 15% off your first purchase when you purchase online at homefieldapparel.com. Just use the promo code GOVALS, one word, GOVALS, for 15% off. Talked a lot of college football. Let's talk some NFL football. Cam, you said you had some news for us?
Yeah, they came out and basically just said in the NFL that if they cannot reschedule a game during the 18-week season in 2021 due to COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the team will forfeit and will be credited with a loss, which will affect playoff seeding. They said they're not going to add a 19th season to try to fit any more games in. Basically kind of said they basically said a lot of stuff about not really owing them anything is kind of what came into play here when I was reading the actual, like,
what do you mean not owing them anything? Like, the NFL doesn't owe it to the teams to, like, try to move them around? Is that what that means?
Yeah, pretty much. It was kind of just like...
Seems like a weird way to take it.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the NFL trying to say, like, hey, get vaccinated or else.
Yeah, they said every club is obligated under the Constitution and bylaws to have its team ready to play at its scheduled time and place. Failure to do so is deemed conduct detrimental. There is no right to postpone a game. Postponements will only occur if required by government authorities, medical experts, or at the commissioner's discretion. So they are really just like, yeah, we're going to probably not really move anything around here. And not only will it give you a loss and kind of just, you know, mess up your schedule and stuff, it seems like this also just has full-on, like, financial implications as well. basically, like I mentioned, they get the loss, the other team gets a win, so that can affect playoffs, stuff like that. But it said if a game is rescheduled due to COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players on one of the competing teams, the team with the outbreak will be responsible for all additional expenses incurred by the opposing team and will also be required to pay a shortfall between actual and expected payment to the VTS pool, which I'm not sure what the VTS pool is, but
sounds like something they put together for all the teams and then pay out gate revenue and all that. I don't know.
It might be something with the testing pool, because they basically said you are able to test up to $400,000 and it's just called a league expense and you get reimbursed for it. But over that, it's the team's expense. They
gotcha.
Also, this is where I feel like the incentive is for the players. If a game is canceled and cannot be rescheduled within the current 18-week schedule due to the COVID outbreak, neither team's players will receive their weekly Paragraph 5 salary.
Oh.
Whoa. So you don't get your game check. You got your organization has to pay for the expenses of everything else.
All right.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, and they're saying even if you, nobody plays, the team that caused the forfeit will be responsible for the loss of payment. So basically going to charge your pockets, give you a loss, anything like that.
So does the team that, say if there is a forfeit, mm-hmm. you said the players don't get paid of the forfeiting
team?
So both teams.
It said both teams, yep.
That's going to lead to some
yep.
some interesting things if a team has their money get affected by, you know.
Cole Beasley.
Yeah, by Cole Beasley, sure. By, yeah. you know, by not yeah, being vaccinated. So, like, you're affecting your teammates' pockets. You're also affecting your, like, quote-unquote brotherhood's pockets across the entire league, potentially.
Yep.
And, you know, some of those veteran minimum guys,
they need that check.
Are living check to check.
Yeah.
I mean, as crazy as that sounds, you know, on, you know, $800,000 salaries or $500,000 salaries or whatever, but it's true. Some of those guys are living check to check. So if you're losing out on that payday,
yeah, you're not going to be happy.
So this is the NFL basically trying to force their hands, because they're saying they did specify due to unvaccinated people, correct?
Yep. Yep, it's an outbreak. Because I think it's kind of the stuff we saw with, like, the college baseball stuff. Like, I think the vaccinated people won't get tested unless, you know, something pops off. I think once you're vaccinated, you really don't have to do any sort of scheduled testing or anything like that. I think it is just the unvaccinated players. So, yeah, if it's an outbreak amongst them and they said, hey, even if it, like, yeah, takes out the whole position group or whatever, like, we're not really canceling anything. Or they're going to try really hard not to move anything around.
What are our thoughts on this? Is the NFL basically saying, don't mess our money up? This is also us doing our duty to tell you to get vaccinated, right? This is our duty to tell you, like, hey, this is going to help our business. Because the NFL lost some money last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the NFL lost some potential money. They didn't actually go in the red by any means. They were still operating in the black. Don't get me wrong. They made a lot of money because the NFL prints money. But they didn't make as much as they thought they could.
Yeah, no.
So, like, they're like, hey, we didn't get fans in the stands, or at least as many as we wanted. So, you know, let's not have any games moved around. Let's not have any games canceled. Let's not make our life hard. Go get vaccinated or else. And your orelis is like, hey, you might not get paid. You might not get paid.
Yeah, they're basically like, hey, don't mess with our money, or it's going to hurt your money as well. And like, hey, you're still welcome to not get the vaccine and risk it. That's on you. But you could cause some major problems if you cause an outbreak.
And you're also hurting, like, your owner. Like, your owner is going to look and say, hey, we had to forfeit a game. It's going to hurt your standings. Like, it's going to hurt your potential chances to make the playoffs.
Yep.
Which is then, you know what it's going to do? It's going to turn around and make your fans upset as well.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, they're getting some dangerous territory here, I feel like.
Yeah, they must have been just sick of it after last year, after trying to find so many things, switch around. They're like, screw it. You're on your own. We'll set the rules.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the Steelers had to get moved around a couple times. The Titans had to get moved around. There were a couple other teams.
It was like Tuesday games.
Right, right. Which, I mean, I guess in that situation, the game would still go on. So, like, what's the big thing here, Kim? Because it said, like, you're still going to be able to have a chance to reschedule, but basically they're not going to move around other teams' bye weeks and stuff. Is that essentially what the implication
is
there?
Yeah, so basically
they're not going to make teams give up their bye weeks. And
I think that's what they said basically. Where was the thing about it?
Like the Steelers had to do. The Steelers got the short end of the stick last year. And they probably feel like it affected their season because they, you know, fell apart at the end of the season.
Yeah. So basically, reasonable. They make every reasonable effort to play the schedule as already set. But they basically said it's gonna kind of depend on like bye weeks, stadium availability, and stuff like that. It says dependent on health and safety reasons at the recommendation of medical experts, as well as considerations of stadium availability, schedule integrity, fan convenience, and other appropriate manners. So they're kind of leaving it a little open-ended to be like, hey, there's lots of factors that can kind of affect if we can actually make this happen as far as rescheduling stuff. So, yeah, I feel like they're not going to move a ton of bye weeks around and stuff like that because schedule integrity is listed, and especially with the longer schedule this year, I feel like you don't want to just take somebody's bye week away like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like if something like this happens after you've already had your bye week, you're definitely not getting rescheduled, I would think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically it's forcing the NFL players to try to force them into vaccination.
Yeah, either that or, just follow the safety protocols super strictly if you're not vaccinated.
I mean, I don't feel like anyone's going to, be like, oh, well, they follow the safety protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Tough for them. Like, it's a vaccination move. It's a vaccination move.
But, if you're just one of those guys that's trying to, do this out of principle or something, basically, if you're not following the protocols and stuff, they said they can hand down sanctions and fines and things like that. So if you're rolling around, not following, whatever mask rules or social distancing or whatever rules they kind of have, and you end up being part of an outbreak, you may get fined, too. Whew. So they're laying down the law a little bit.
Affect people's pockets.
Yeah.
You're affecting the players' pockets, you're affecting the owners' pockets, and you are putting a lot of pressure. The fans are going to be angsty about that too. If someone on your team creates an outbreak, which last year necessarily wasn't the case, you couldn't be too mad at people when they got the coronavirus because we're still learning about it. We were still trying to figure out what was going on. Blah, blah, blah. But now there is a vaccination, which again you can argue about what you think about the vaccination as it is. But if your job is telling you to get it, you either find a new job or you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what the NFL is doing, is telling them, get it, or we're not making you get a new job, but you just might not get paid.
Yeah. And there is, officially, no week 19. We are not going to add an extra week just so you can get a game in.
Which they didn't do last year, but they had talked about the idea of doing it. And this year they're like, nope, going to go ahead and stop that.
They said no way,
Which is still crazy. They're playing 17 games in only 18 weeks. You would think they'd get a two bye weeks.
Yeah.
This year would have been a good year to do it and just have it in there just in case because of COVID. But either way, whatever.
But yeah.
And I mean, honestly, depending on when the outbreak happens, you could theoretically miss 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You could miss two paychecks. You have two forfeits.
Yeah, if it's still that 10-day spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, if you get it on Sunday of the game day, Saturday of the game day, that's when that round of testing would be, right? Like that Saturday is usually when they do it. If you have an outbreak, then it's possible you could have your next game derailed as well.
Basically, here's their kind of rules on the days. They said vaccinated individuals who test positive and are asymptomatic can return to duty after two negative tests 24 hours apart. So, basically as quick as possible, I guess you can have is about a day or two. You could be out. Unvaccinated individuals are still subject to the mandatory 10-day isolation period. So, if you're unvaccinated, get popped, you could miss a couple games.
It's like Michael Irvin said, bro. Yep. If you ain't vaccinated, you ain't trying to win. I wonder how many other people in the NFL feel that way.
Yeah.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The reviews are not great so far for Brian Harsin.
Really?
Oh. As he's speaking at SEC Media Days. Just people talking about how boring he is.
That doesn't surprise me a ton.
No. No, doesn't surprise me either. Doesn't surprise me either. So as we're talking about the NFL, I guess we had some some other weird news yesterday as this is a weird headline, but Shailene Woodley, the girl from Secret Life of American Teenager, retweeted a Stephen A. Smith video talking about the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Shailene Woodley, of course, is the fiance, right? They're engaged, the fiance of Aaron Rodgers. The video is Stephen A. Smith going on a rant basically about how it isn't about the money. Kind of like what we said. It's not about the money. It is about the Packers disrespecting Aaron Rodgers. Shailene Woodley, I guess, is giving the cosign, as she probably was sitting next to Aaron Rodgers, to throw out the retweet of like, hey, yeah, babe, go ahead and retweet that. And gives the cosign that Aaron Rodgers just simply feels disrespected and is done with the Green Bay Packers. What do we make of this really strange headline in 2021?
It's weird how like social media has the power like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not really like surprising. Like, I guess you would assume she's sticking with her guy and on his side of this whole argument. But yeah, it is funny that like she kind of just went in there because looked at her Twitter. She doesn't really tweet a ton. So like she went out of her way to probably go in here and retweet this.
But this whole situation has been infamous just because of the lack of information we have, that even if we got a little sliver of something we'll run with it.
So you feel like we haven't gotten information? I feel like Rodgers has actually given us almost more than any other star that's disgruntled has given us, really. Directly, when James Harden was upset, James Harden kind of like just getting fat and like the rumors and innuendo was out there, and you looked at his body, like, okay, he's fat. And then eventually you could see the frustration. Like, that's kind of the last star I'm thinking of that's kind of forced their way out. Like, Russell Wilson was apparently disgruntled with Seattle, and all he said was basically like, I want to win, blah, blah, blah.
Protect me.
Deshaun Watson was kind of like just what? Like, taking things out of his Instagram bio and, like, liking tweets and tweeting, like, vague things. To me, that's like a slither of information. With Rodgers, we've gotten like, hey, we've gotten the teams he wants to go to. We've gotten him going on SportsCenter, basically being like, these guys can go to hell. They don't respect me. Like, I feel like they've actually given a lot of information about Rodgers and like what he wants to do, which is, again, kind of unique when we look at a couple of the other stars who have tried to like tiptoe their way out of town.
Yeah, but I guess it is just more of like a lot of the other situations, it was more concrete. It's on this one, it's like generalizations.
I think with this one, it's just like it's
like he's not happy there. He is disgruntled.
I think with this one, it's more just like it's got a Hollywood actress and Miles Teller and like tropical vacations and like singing along to Taylor Swift songs, like, and hosting Jeopardy. Like, this one to me isn't like a slither of information. To me, this was just Hollywood.
Yeah,
which is really weird for a Green Bay Packers quarterback. But like, this was just Hollywood again. You got a guy threatening to retire to go host Jeopardy.
Yeah, this is you can't make this stuff up.
It's not like even he's like, hey, I want to go to a winner like Deshaun Watson, because the Packers are a winner. It's not like, with Russell Wilson, maybe it's with him, it's like, hey, I want more control of the offense. I want to be able to do these things, draft some linemen. I guess that one's not too far, like uncomparable to what, what's going on with the Packers. But, Russell Wilson, who also has, I don't want to say a Hollywood wife, because Ciara's not an actress, but she's an entertainer with money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With a step, he has a stepson of a rapper. Like, it's got a little Hollywood, a little fame to it, but like, it's not Shailene Woodley and Miles Teller jumping off of rocks together.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's not Jeopardy. I'm going to retire and go to live in Burbank, California for a couple of months out of the year to go film these 100 Jeopardy episodes.
It definitely seems like Rodgers would be perfectly fine without football.
And I appreciate Shailene's subtleness.
Yeah.
You've had players' wives, Bradley Bill's wife comes to mind.
Yep. Tweeting through it.
Just tweeting through it, going crazy on Twitter.
Al Horford's sister.
Aisha Curry, you have her as well.
Yeah.
So Brent Grimes' wife was always doing that with the Dolphins and Falcons.
She was known for it, yep.
I appreciate Shailene's subtlety of just like, randomly coming online and retweeting a Stephen A. Smith clip of all people. Is she a big Stephen A. Smith fan? Like, her last tweet was her quote tweeting about a live stream to raise money for whatever allittakes.org is.
Yeah, she does a lot of, like, charity retweets and, like, organizations she supports.
April 7th, she's trying to, like, help get, like, fresh water with Mark Ruffalo. March 17th, she is trying to help North Dakota get a $200 million bailout on coal, or try to stop them, I guess, from getting a bailout, trying to invest in fossil fuels. November 7th, 2020, it's about Native Americans making the difference in the 2020 election. Yeah, on October 28th, you do have her, I guess, wanting to help Jason Alexander have a performance on the Rocky Horror Picture Show to help. Oh, there it is. It is a fundraiser, too, to help support Wisconsin Democrats.
So she has a brand, but she's on, or at least know what she's going
to
tweet about.
She's not very online. Like, she's there to try to raise money and, you know, help people. She did post something on Instagram of her hanging out with the cast for a reunion of The Secret Life of an American Teenager. She did have that going on. But otherwise, it's just her trying to raise money for causes and charities with a random Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
Retweet thrown in.
To sum up this situation, I'm just getting impatient. Like most people, I just want something to happen in all these debacles, all these stories coming out, instead of just getting teased with just little likes, little retweets. Yes, there might be a lot of meaning behind it, and it might tell a lot of the information, but again, it's just teases. It's not coming from the source. Just little things.
We'll get our update, I would imagine, the next week. Again, Packers training camp starts on the 29th, so it makes sense to me that we at least have some type of resolution, or at least momentum towards a resolution by then.
Mm-hmm.
It's still kind of wild. You know, all the quarterbacks that have, you know, changed teams.
Yeah.
In the NFL. Yeah,
it is weird.
And that, you know, one of the two or three best ones still might find himself on a new team and really only have like a month to get ready for the season. Like, is there something to that? Like, I mean, like, do you, let's just say Aaron Rodgers is traded.
Mm-hmm.
Do you lower expectations for that team because he's only going to be on that team for like 5 weeks before the season starts?
I'd say not in the grand scheme. Like, they may not be, you know, clicking on all cylinders at the start, but I think he's good enough and, like, smart enough of a quarterback that you could put in, you know, I don't want to say, like, the basics, but you could put in, like, some pretty, like, straightforward stuff and give him, like, different sorts of audibles he can do.
Uh-huh.
And he's enough that he can go out there and change things around as much as he needs and be serviceable, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think you saw that with Brady last year.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled out the gate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for the first month and a half of the season, and he said, hey, it's because I didn't get to do my offseason stuff with my new teammates. Like, I was in a new system, like, Brady gets the credit for being, you know, maybe the most cerebral quarterback in the league now. I mean, it was no Peyton, but like he's a timing guy. Like he's a I don't want to say system as a insult, but like he was in New England with the Patriots, where they bring in guys that could play in a system that they all know and they're all on the same page of what they're going to do. And he struggled when he went to a new place, and he had a full offseason, just like, you know, not a normal training camp and all that, I get, but like he had months to get ready with his teammates and struggled out the gate. So, like, would Rodgers not have that similar thing kind of happen? Like,
no, I think
he went to a new place.
I mean, he has a rapport with his receivers, like Devontae Adams. I mean, like, they know what they're going to do and things like that. And I think it helps to know, like, hey, you know, when they jump off sides here, run down the field. Or, hey, here comes this back shoulder throw and we got this coverage. And, hey, I'm going to go quick here. And, you know, I do think all that matters to quarterbacks. So, if you told me you were going to put him on the Denver Broncos, who I don't know how I feel about them, you know, as a roster, it's not like I would think they have a lot of, like, wiggle room to, you know, start slow in that division with the Chiefs. Kind of like how the Bucks had to, you know, they couldn't overcome their slow start and catch the Saints.
Yeah.
Now, they still ended up making the wild card, still ended up winning the Super Bowl, so ultimately it didn't matter. But, like, I don't know. I wonder if, like, this being so late in the game, if that changes things, because we haven't seen quarterbacks change teams this much in any offseason, but we also haven't seen a quarterback change teams like this late in the season and then go on and be great. Like, Peyton chose the Broncos like in like March, right? Or like February? April? Like, I mean, like it was definitely before August where he ended up on a new team.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think he would have a slow start. I feel like he's good enough of a quarterback, but it's not going to be like, you're not going to start like 1-4 and be like, oh no, like,
yeah, sure,
what a waste this was, or ruining a season. But yeah, he's not, yeah, he's obviously not going to come out as fast like he did and as efficient as he did like last year winning MVP.
I guess it helps when you start the season with the Giants, Jaguars, and Broncos. So if he, or yeah, excuse me, the Jets, Giants, Jaguars, and Jets.
You're talking the Broncos schedule right now?
Yeah, if you're the Broncos, you feel pretty good about that start of that season, right?
Yeah,
for sure.
Really good.
Then it gets a little tougher. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and then your first division game against Vegas. So, I mean, like, it's not an easy schedule, but it does give you an easier chance. It ain't like Tom Brady had to start the season in the Superdome against the Saints game one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was their game one.
Yeah.
Giants, Jags, Jets. That's, you know, the Broncos, you know, could be 3-0 and feeling good at the beginning of the season.
Oh, jeez.
It's possible. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. People are maybe just enjoying their day and just getting lit up on the internet for some reason. This one's not much of a surprise. I'm sure this guy's used to it. I told you yesterday, Shaq posted on Instagram about Giannis. Thanks for bringing old school bully basketball back. It's only one Superman now, and that's you. Damn, you was dominating. Wow. You know, giving Giannis his props. Because, again, Giannis had the game that Shaq's been begging a big man to have. Need more.
Yeah.
Gotta dominate 40 points. And then, you know, Giannis went out and put 50 and blocked 5 shots. Someone replied, damn, Shaq said someone else was Superman. To which Shaq replied, yes, I did. He earned it, unlike some people. A.K.A. Dwight Howard, I still hate you. You called yourself Superman. You didn't earn it. You stole my nickname.
Yeah.
You tried to be me. You couldn't be me. You never lived up to it. You stink. Dwight.
Oh, Dwight.
Probably knows what to expect when it comes to Shaq. He knows that Shaq hates him.
Yeah. At least the cards are on the table.
Hopefully he has it blocked and it doesn't bother him anymore. But I do feel bad for another basketball player.
Oh, no.
Who's just chilling. You know, actually had a pretty good bounce back year. This is a guy that's actually had to deal with a lot of stuff the last couple of years, right? He went from like a really underrated player to super paid to like, oh, this guy kind of stinks, to like, okay, let's buy him out. He's nothing, to getting signed, you know, as a buyout guy, as a cheap guy, and then, you know, being a pretty good player on a pretty good team. I'm talking about Nicholas Batum.
Okay, yeah.
You know, again, who went from underrated to overpaid and overrated to like, okay, he's actually kind of good, yeah, and useful again.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. He's probably feeling good about himself until he sees this screen grab from a piece in The Ringer as they're, you know, we're praising Giannis this week, maybe the whole month. I don't know. We'll see how much longer the Giannis love fest goes. But the story is talking about Giannis being humble, but also, quote, knowing his worth, as they're recalling a story before a game in Charlotte where a Bucks coach is sitting there. They're watching Nicholas Batum, you know, who plays for Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
A 6'8" forward who is having an all-star kind of season, warm up. You see Batum, Oppenheimer said to Giannis. Giannis nodded. Look at him. Really, look at him. He's a really good player. If you work really hard, you might be able to become a Nick Batum type of player.
Oh, Lord.
Giannis stared at his coach for a second, not frowning, but looking surprised, a bit offended. Coach, Giannis said, if I become Nick Batum, I'm going back to Greece. If I'm Nick Batum, I'm like, why are you doing this to me?
Oh, my gosh.
Golly.
That's funny. That's funny, though. Yeah, at least, yeah, Giannis knows his worth. He recognized, yeah, don't want to be Nick Batum. Jeez. Yeah, Batum, right, yeah, just chilling at home in the offseason right now on vacation somewhere.
He might actually, I would assume he's actually in
Olympics.
Yeah, yeah. Out in Tokyo getting ready to try to win a gold medal.
Yeah.
Probably feeling good. Likes our chances. Like, hey, we got a chance to at least medal.
If you're a Nick Batum type player.
He said, if I'm Nick Batum, I'm going back to Greece. And you have to think of it in his thick Greek accent. The way Giannis doesn't necessarily say anything assertively.
Yeah.
As if he's kind of questioning you.
It's funny because, like, he's probably seen Batum a lot on, like, national teams, so he probably definitely knew, like, oh, this is disrespectful.
Like, yeah, I mean, again, in 2014, like, Nick Batum isn't, like, even a bad player, but, like, it's...
He wasn't somebody you aspire to be as, like, the cream of the crop.
It's tough.
Nick Batum getting sniped through his window.
It's tough. Poor Nick Batum.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoying life. The Bucks parade looks like they're having a great time. I'm happy for the Bucks. I'm happy for
the
Bucks.
They do look like they're having a blast. I'm happy for Brandon Jennings.
It is nice to see them kind of wrap their arms around him. And, you know, honestly, Michael Redd as well.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Redd's kind of a forgotten, for a while, a great player. For a great player. We got a statement coming from Washington State's football coach as we kind of, not about realignment, but as we talked about the NFL.
Yeah. Didn't he already say he wasn't getting it?
Yeah. I mean, he basically said he is not, I guess that was yesterday. Never mind. I thought that just came across where Washington State's coach has made a statement that he wasn't going to media days because he wasn't going to get forced to be vaccinated. Never mind.
Yeah, he did that, and then what's interesting is I think I saw Washington State, like, as a school, like, if you're not vaccinated on campus, you have to, like, wear a mask at all times, you have to do this, do that, and I think they were, like, mandating people get vaccinated, and then, yeah, if you weren't, you had to do a bunch of stuff, so I guess he's just gonna power through that, or I don't know if they're gonna, I don't know how it's gonna work out there, be butting heads a little bit, it seems like, between, you know, him and the university, but...
Poor Nicholas Batum, man.
Yeah, poor guy.
Just enjoying his day. Like I said, Dwight Howard's used to it.
Yeah.
He probably expects it.
Batum just out of nowhere.
Good for Giannis, though, as he continues his love fest, his love week.
Yeah.
Would you go to a parade? I was thinking about that. Like, would you have gone, like, down to Atlanta for a parade?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
I definitely would have. Yeah. I would have loved to do that. I think I would have had a good time.
You as well? You're shaking your head yes, Ryan? Yeah. You would go to a parade if you could?
Like, it would be a blast. It's just the pure jubilation from everybody.
Are you still riding that high a couple days later?
Yeah. I think I would. Especially, like, yeah, I definitely would. With the history of my teams, I'll take anything I can get, so I would be milking it for as long as I could.
I think I'd be exhausted at this point. It's kind of like, okay, I understand the people that party after the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see, like, the streets.
Yeah.
You know, not so much the riots. I mean, LA used to have those, you know, cars getting flipped over and things after Lakers won championships. It seemed a little weird they would still do that after, like, repeats and, like, repeats. Like, you're still this excited? Like, you didn't think this was a foregone conclusion? But either way, I understand, like, the night of partying after a big win. The couple days later, still being able to get fired up for a parade, that seems a little bit tougher. That seems like a huge crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pumped. But, you know,
that you're going to be there and you can't. I guess maybe when they pass you and you see the trophy, it's cool. But otherwise, you're just kind of standing there waiting. The parade seems like a weird concept to me.
I don't like parades in general, but I think I'd do that just because I feel like it'd be like almost once in a lifetime kind of thing. So I was like, I want to be able to say I was there and I saw it.
I helped just celebrate with my team.
Just to be the guy that throws the beer to Brandon Jennings.
Yeah, I want to be that guy. That is who I want to be. That's what I aspire to be in life.
The guy that throws the beer to Brandon Jennings.
Yeah. Or be like.
Or an equivalent.
It would be like not quite Lou Williams this year. I mean. Because who would have came back? Jamal Crawford just rambling on over there.
Okay, you're disrespecting Brandon Jennings a little bit. He meant more to the Bucks than Jamal Crawford did to the Hawks. It'd be more like a Josh Smith.
Okay. Oh, I would definitely love to.
Yeah. I don't think the Hawks would have wrapped their arms around Josh Smith the same way that the Bucks did.
I definitely don't.
Brandon Jennings.
Maybe Joe Johnson sitting over there.
Yeah. Joe Johnson felt a little too good to be Brandon Jennings,
he's
but I don't
better,
know.
But I don't think we have a Brandon. I can't think of a Brandon Jennings. Zaza Pachulia.
Again, I think it's Josh Smith, just a lefty that can't really shoot, that was pretty good, that ultimately didn't win anything. But, you know, I guess I didn't realize he was still riding with the Bucks like that. But
I didn't
like, hey, let's just bring him in. This guy's good. We like him.
Bucks and six.
I'd say if Jeff Teague was out of the league, he would have fit that bill.
Jeff Teague might have fit that bill a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Teague said knocked us out of the playoffs, so I hope they never celebrate him.
Yep. Yeah.
The parade seems like a weird concept to me. Like I said, I get the after party for sure. Understand that. Maybe the parade's just a continuation of that. I assume people are just there drinking and having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just a big party out in public where you're like, oh snap, there goes the team.
It is the finale of the celebrations though. Yeah, it's like after the parade, there is not much, and you're like, yeah, my team won. That's about it.
I guess the parade does give you good things. That gave us the J.R. Smith running around without a shirt on.
Yep.
We'll see this Brandon Jennings for a while.
Yeah, Brandon Jennings, again, getting to party without even being on the team. That's a different level. But, okay. Maybe, again, my teams haven't won a championship since I've been of age. So, like, maybe I would want to be there and still party. Like, if the Titans would have won a Super Bowl, I probably would take off to go to Nashville for a parade, I guess.
So that's kind of my take is like, yeah.
Brought it out as much as you can.
Yeah. Because it may not happen again. That's my thing.
No, that's true. It may not happen again. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three of headlines.